I don't think I envision being the pastor this long. I don't think I envision living this long. I've told you before, my dad died at 49. His dad died at 47. So I didn't make long-range plans. You know, when I was starting to get some age, I assumed that by the age of 50 or 55, I probably wouldn't be here. So, but yes, I believe when God called us to start Grace Baptist Church, that He was going to do a great work here. And the truth of the matter is, none can argue that we've been richly blessed. In December of 1990, Lila and I, on our own, rented two double-wide trailers that had been a Presbyterian church plant that did not make it. And so we just on our own rented that building. We had met in our home a couple times with the founding members of the church. And then we had our first service there on December the 16th of 1990. And since that time, it's just been one glorious experience after another. So we had 12 adults and 15 children in all. And you can just imagine, we had an auditorium that was seating about 85 people. And we had, I think there was a little kitchen, and there were two bathrooms. There was an area that we made a nursery, and then there was one other classroom, I believe. And that was an old building. It had no insulation to speak of, and there was some hot days. How many people are here? Would you just stand if you attended a service in the trailers? Would you just stand if you attended a service in the trailers? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Randy and Debbie are back here. They were our charter members. And we're glad to have Chris and Ann Curley back with us today. They have been early on. He was one of our earliest staff members, and we're grateful to God for them. But those were some difficult days. I can tell you, many Sundays, I would be the last one to leave, and the thermostat, the thermometer on the thermostat in that auditorium would be on 90 degrees. I think Jim Adkins helped us rig up an oscillating sprinkler system on the roof to try to keep the thing cool. It was unbelievable. We sure enough had some great times there, and we would have Wednesday night meals, and everybody would bring covered dish, and we'd provide the meat, and Miss Linda would provide the very best chocolate meringue pie you've ever put in your mouth, and I would always make sure I got the first piece, or she would save me a piece, and I'm grateful to God. You have a special place in heaven, I'll assure you of that. But today we have grown to the fact that we have over 1,400 members. We have 65,000 square feet of facilities on 50 acres of prime real estate in Columbia County, Georgia, and we have no debt. We have over 800 people on campus on average of Sundays. That's the fifth largest congregation in the Augusta Association of Baptist Churches. We are anticipated general budget giving this year is $1,750,000, which again is about the fifth largest in the association. This past year, we had 37 baptisms, which is the fourth most in our association. I would tell you, we are blessed beyond measure, and that merits a round of applause for Almighty God. Don't you think so? He says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, talk of all His wondrous works. And that's part of what we're doing today, talking of the wondrous works of Almighty God in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to read for you, beginning at verse 1, I'm going to read through verse 9. My emphasis will be on those first few verses. I'd ask you to stand, if you're able to do so, to honor the public reading of God's precious word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, Paul is speaking now, and I, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, not of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Please be seated, and as you do, join me in prayer. Father, thank You for Your presence here today and for Your blessing in our lives and in this fellowship. Thank You, Lord, for the great work You have done. for the many lives that have been touched and for countless more lives that will be touched should Jesus not come for us very soon. And Father, I pray that we'd never forget that this isn't about a pastor. And this isn't about a staff. And this isn't about a denomination. And it's not about a program. And it's not about facilities. It's about Jesus. Lord, might we never forget that. And if we do, would you just do us the service of shutting us down so that we would not dishonor your name in any way. Father, I pray that you'd preach through me now and set me free of every distraction, every hindrance, every obstacle that I present to your son. Silence me, O God, that you might be heard and hide me, that you might be seen. And I do pray the forces of darkness and evil would be bound from this place and bound from this campus. Father, they have no authority over us. We are yours, purchased by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wicked one touched us not. So have your way in all that's said and done. And for all you accomplish, I'll give you all praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Two things stand out about that passage of scripture. And the first is this, a personal testimony. A personal testimony. You know our story. Leela and I were minding our business, serving God all we knew how in a local Baptist church. We were singing in the choir. She was serving the nursery, as she has done for the last 29 years at Grace Baptist Church and loves it. I was singing in the choir. I was vice chairman of deacons. I was on the finance committee. I was the pastor's visitation partner. I'm telling you, we were doing everything we needed to do to serve God faithfully. And while I was in the midst of minding my own business, God called me to preach. And I was terrified by that prospect, Jim. I think in my spirit I knew that was coming, but I was just terrified at that prospect. I was unsure of the direction. I really had every intention of going to seminary, applied twice and was rejected twice for reasons that I believe was surely the hand of God intervening on my behalf. God said to start a church. And my response to God was just so deeply spiritual. I said, God, I don't want to start a church. I don't know how to start a church. I don't know anybody to ask about starting a church. He said, I've done it before. We had no financial assistance from anybody that was not a member of Grace Baptist Church. The only advice we ever got from the Southern Baptist Convention was bad advice. After we've been in church for 18 months, we bought 6 acres of property. We're in Journey Church is sitting today. And somebody said, you ought to call the Georgia Baptist Convention. They have some guys that come up here and help you out, laying out a building and that kind of thing. So I called them, and they came over, and we walked that property. Met out there on the side of the road, Clay. Never met this guy before in my life. Walked the property. He said, let me ask you a question. I said, you ask anything you want to. He said, do you think you can get your money back? And I said, I don't want my money back. He said, well, I'm not even sure God's going to grow a church way out here. There's no people out here. You need to sell this property, go back closer to town, and start a church back there. And I said, well, I believe God led us here, and we're just going to trust him. So he said, okay, I'll be praying for you. And you could tell he meant that kind of half-heartedly. I doubt we ever crossed his mind again, except when he was telling jokes to his people about this crazy preacher over there in Evans, Georgia. And that's okay. That's okay. Within 90 days after the time we got zoning, they broke ground on 2 big subdivisions out here. And in that first 5 years, they broke ground on 2 more subdivisions. And I suppose in that first 10 years of existence, they probably built 2,000 homes within a matter of about 3 miles from the church property. We grew very rapidly. In terms of percentages, we were among the fastest growing churches in America 6 out of those first 10 years. And God richly, richly blessed. We wanted to build more buildings. We built 3 buildings down there. We wanted to build more buildings. The county would not let us do so, and I'm not throwing stones at the county. We were on a septic tank. We couldn't have access to county sewer, and they said you can't anymore on a septic tank. And so we had a member family, very prominent in the community, and long story short, they gave us 50 acres of property here, and we sold that facility. And we built here and we moved here in October, I believe, or November of 2004. And God has continued to bless. My role here is clear. I am the nobody that is leading this church in such a way that whatever good happens brings glory to God and not to me. And I'm just like most preachers. If I had been able to go and do what I want to do and get a couple of degrees from seminary, I'd be somebody. And I'd take all the credit for this, Jack. And the truth of the matter is, that's what happens in a whole lot of places. God helped me understand early on, he was going to raise up the church using a nobody like me, so he was glorified. So this community, we know he's still the God of the Bible because he's pretty sick of the institutionalized church that glorifies denominations and pastors and staffs and facilities and programs that he wants to be glorified. And so we're in that position of having to say, God knows, and these people in Evans know. I was in this community for 12 years before we started the church, so they know who I am, and they know that this is the miracle on Hardy McManus Road, and I am grateful to God for it. My claim to fame is simple. I preach the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please, God says, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Hey, it has accomplished his plan at Grace Baptist Church to date and is continuing to do so. And I am honored to be the nobody God chose for this role. I would tell you that Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, has a very similar testimony we read for you tonight. I, brethren, but I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness. I know what that feels like. I was with you in fear. I know what that feels like too. And I was with you in much trembling, and I'm very well acquainted with that. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Paul didn't woo with polished oratory. No, he preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And God did an awesome work through Paul. We know of at least 14 churches that the Apostle Paul planted. And all those churches thrive, and all those churches glorified Almighty God. And that's as it should be. I am deeply troubled in my soul over the prevalence of celebrity church in our culture today. And there's some mega churches out there that are built around celebrity. And that celebrity pastor is the one that's praised in the media. He's the one that's glorified. That celebrity musician is the one that's praised or is glorified. Those are the reasons that people are drawn there, not to Almighty God. I would tell you the focus of the church should be Jesus Christ. And that'll be the case if His word is preached without compromise. Paul preached Jesus. That's not to imply he was ignorant. He was a very learned man. Acts chapter 22, verse 3. I indeed am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of the Father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. Gamaliel was the most revered scholar of that day. Only wealthy people could have the scholarship of Gamaliel offered them personally. Paul was trained by Gamaliel. So he was very well educated, but he did not rely upon his education. Intellectualism is a wonderful thing, and it is appealing to a great many people. We want to be well educated, and I'm grateful for our education system and those who serve faithfully in it. You're a blessing to me. And I want to make sure Grace Baptist Church is a blessing to our education system in Columbia County and has all the influence over it that we possibly can. But I would tell you, it is not knowledge or education that's going to draw people to Jesus Christ. Knowledge and education cannot save a sin-sick soul. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can, and that blood and that power is revealed to us through His precious word. That's why Paul's admonition to young Timothy and to all preachers is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Preach the word. It's such a simple thing to do. And yet I am continually amazed. I have friends back home that will sometimes go online and listen to a sermon, and when I see them again, they'll say, "Boy, you take that stuff pretty seriously, don't you?" I say, "Well, I think Jesus takes it pretty seriously." Could be wrong. It might be flipping with Him. I kind of doubt it. If He had to die for it, I suspect He pays pretty strict attention. But I would tell you that preaching the Word, you cannot fail. You cannot fail. Why? Because it's the Word that will accomplish the mission. It's the Word of God that has brought us all here. And I would tell you, I looked this past week just at our growth over the last 10 years, just one decade out of our almost three decades, from 2010 to the present time, our membership is up 78% from 850 approximately to 1,400. Our weekly attendance is up 80% from 465 to over 800. Our giving is up 75% from just over $1 million a year in 2010 to almost $1.8 million this year. And our baptisms are up 37% from 27 in 2010 to 37 this year. And since that time, over 500 people have made professions of faith in Jesus Christ at Grace Baptist Church in Evans, Georgia. Amen. And that's happening during a time when the church in the United States of America is in steep decline. Steep decline. 80% of churches in America are not growing. 80% are not growing, either plateaued or in decline. And we've had a richly, richly blessed decade. We've had three richly blessed decades. But I've got a little concern I want to share with you, because our growth is slowing. You see, if you look at year-to-year statistics from 2018 to 2019, our membership is up only 3%. You can't get to 80% in 10 years at 3% a year. Our attendance is only up 2%. Our giving is up 3%. That's amazing. In a Southern Baptist church, that our giving has grown faster than our weekly attendance has grown. The question has been asking me, can we get back to where we were, growing at 6 to 8 to 10% a year? And that would seem to be something of an uphill climb, since many would argue that we exist in a saturated market. I looked at Barna this week on the internet, and he's a person that publishes all kinds of statistics about the church. He did a study across the nation on the most churched communities in America. In other words, the communities that have the most people that attend church at least once or twice a year. I was amazed. The most churched community in America is Chattanooga, Tennessee, at 59% of its residents that attend church at least once or twice a year. Salt Lake City was very close behind. And the Aiken, Augusta area, the Central Savannah River area, was number three at 57%. Think about that. In all of America, we're the third most churched community, David. Now, I don't know that you just call yourself a church if you're going once or twice a year. I mean, but that's the world we live in. People now that go to church once a month say they're regular attenders, right? If you go once or twice a year, then you're involved in church, and that's okay. If that's something you can live with, I can live with. But it seemed like then we've got an uphill climb. If over half already has some identity in terms of participating at least casually in church. But is it really? In fact, if 57% of resident CSRA go to church once or twice a year, that says that 43% don't. Think of that. Last statistic I saw was about 136,000 residents of just Columbia County. So 40% of that is 55,000 people that don't even go at Christmas and Easter. I don't think that's saturated at all. I mean, think about it. And truth of the matter is, we know many of those people. They live on your street. They work in your office. They work in your shop. They attend your class. You know them by name. I wonder when the last time we just made sure we were going out of our way to be Jesus to those people. When was the last time we went to one of those people that doesn't ever go to church anywhere? And maybe our real thorn in the flesh, so to speak, a burr under our saddle, no doubt, and just said, I wonder if you'd come to church with me Sunday. You say, well, preacher, they're going to laugh. Probably. Probably. But what if they didn't? What if they didn't? What if they came just to see what this crazy preacher is going to do? And what if the Spirit of God drew them and convicted the place that they recognized they were sinners? And what if, just what if, something this simple preacher said registered with them and they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Can you imagine the difference you have made in their lives? Not just for the next 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, but forever and ever and ever. You see, Christianity is not just something I'm going to have while I'm living here. This is just kind of the dress rehearsal. This is kind of a warm-up period for what we're going to do forever and ever and ever in the presence of Almighty God, because somebody loved me enough to tell me about Jesus. I didn't want to hear it. Dear Lord, my mama will tell you, my daddy would tell you for sure. I was in church every time my doors were open. Most times we opened the doors and closed them, bless God. And I was going to sit there and be still and quiet and respectful, and I was miserable. I hated it with a passion. I'd have rather taken a beat than go to church. It's just such a waste of time to me. Then I had to read the Bible, for heaven's sakes. That really will bless you. Make a lost person read the Bible, they're really going to get a lot out of that. I just hate it, Clay. I just hated it. And yet all the time I'm hating it, seeds were being planted in my heart. I tried my best to get those seeds out. I mean, I tried my best to undo what had been done in me and my upbringing. I just couldn't. Just couldn't. The Spirit of God wouldn't let go and brought me to the place to recognize my desperate need. And I came to the point of trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I can't imagine life without Him today. Been my Savior for 40 years. I could never thank Him enough. Because I'm telling you, He's done something to me in spite of me. I wasn't cooperating at all. I can't tell you the number of times. Leland and I both have to be honest and say, we prayed together and said, God, don't call us into the ministry. She just said, I'm not going to do that. And I said, well, that's good, because I'm not going to do it either. We got that in agreement. When we got married, she said to me, I think it was on the night before or the week before, she said, if you're going to turn out like your dad, I don't know if we ought to do this. And I said, I have no intention of turning out like my dad. Now, she loved my dad. My dad was a very influential person in the community. He was a principal of high school she attended as well. But he was one of those sure enough fanatics about Jesus. And I wasn't going to be that. And I just said, I'll give you my word. That ain't happening to me. Ta-da! It's amazing what the Spirit, and I don't even mind it, man. I don't even resent it at all. I'm just thrilled to death to be here. I mean, I'm just in love with the people God lets me serve. I just can't think of any pastor in America that's more blessed today than I am to get to be your pastor. I mean, you're just one of the greatest blessings in my life. I love my family dearly. And I love you dearly. You are my family. And you're their family. And they love you. That's why I want you to know who they are. Because they're grateful for your faithfulness to God. And the influence you've had over my children. I mean, they've seen the faithful saints at Grace Baptist Church. They know what it looks like to live for Jesus. And you, in large part, are responsible for that. They know what church is supposed to look like. They know when they visit a church that don't look like that. And you, in large part, are responsible. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to you. But the truth of the matter is, what we see in so many churches is a contemporary model that worships a contemporary Jesus. This anything goes Jesus. This Jesus that doesn't require anything of you. Just show up once in a while and say His name and everything will be okay. I'm going to tell you, everything's not going to be okay. The only Jesus can help us is the Jesus of the Bible. You know, if you go to Mexico, there's thousands of Jesuses. Just telling you the truth. Just telling you the truth. They can't help you. They can't help you. We need Yeshua HaMashiach, the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus who is the sinless Son of God, the God-loving, sin-hating, godly-living, resurrected, coming again Jesus. And there's only one. There's only one. If you don't find Him, whatever else you find in life is a waste. Is a waste. But how are they going to find Him, preacher? Because you and I have got to continue to preach and teach and live the Word of God. We've got to continue to let my little light shine. I told Jim, he's wanted me to sing in my preaching for a long time, and he had to miss the Sunday I got to sing to you all. I don't think I've got many things in life that have had such an impact on this congregation as my description about mayonnaise and my singing, this little light of mine. A lot of people have said, you know, I didn't know you could sing. You still don't know it. You're being gracious, and I appreciate it. But I'm telling you, we need to make sure we're letting our little light shine. Because why? People are drawn to light. Don't always like it, but they're drawn to it. I used the illustration last time about the bugs. You know, they're drawn to light. It's a kamikaze mission. If you notice, all the dead bodies in there. They're not getting away, but they're coming. They're coming. They're coming to the light. I came to the light. You came to the light. Lost people desperately need the light. But can we just be brutally honest for a few minutes while we're in church and say, they've been disillusioned by so many churches and so many Christians. They don't know if real light exists. But if they know you and me, they better know it. If we are truly born again believers in Jesus Christ, we are the light of the world, Tony. That's what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. If they don't know that, I'm hiding my light under a bushel. Oh, no, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And as we let it shine, they're going to be drawn. And there's the opportunity for us to tell our story and share our faith. I wouldn't go into a lot of theological debate with them. Theology won't save them. Jesus will save them. Be the love of Jesus Christ. I can't imagine, Bob, the hours that have been spent in this past year by pastors and teachers and theologians debating Calvinism and Arminianism, and not a soul been saved as a result. Because God's people have been fighting about that for 500 years, and we ain't going to figure it out. And it's okay. We're trying to get an infinite God into a finite mind. He just won't fit. We'll understand it when we get to heaven. I believe in the sovereignty of God, and I believe in the free will of man. I can prove both in Scripture. That's all I need to know. And I'm telling you, they've got to understand that they need Jesus, and Jesus paid the price for their sin so that they can be forgiven. Hey, not just your sins and mine. That bunch of pagans you work with, Jesus became their sin, died for them. This past week, I had a conversation with somebody. They were just ranting about somebody, some wicked so-and-so. And I said, and Jesus died for them just like He did for me. He did. That bunch of politicians in Washington ought to be shot. Jesus died for them too. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. Why wouldn't He have said, y'all going to be a bunch of Republicans and Democrats? I ain't dying for you. But He died for them all. He died for them all. How dare I then say, I don't care about them. They're liberal. I don't care about them. They're conservative. Are you serious? Jesus cares about us all. But a great many churches don't. We don't have a right to be that kind of church. We got to be the love of Jesus Christ. There's a right way to do that. Because if we will, they'll be drawn to Him. And some who are drawn will reject it. But some who are drawn here will be saved. And it's worth it. For the one who will receive. So we see a personal testimony. You're glad there's only 2 points, aren't you? Second is a pertinent truth. A pertinent truth. God worked mighty through Paul. Great many miracles were performed through his life and ministry. But Paul knew there was more. And he trusted God to do the more. And he said there in verse 9, it is written, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. He said, well, preacher, I think he's just talking about heaven there. Well, I don't think so. But let's just suppose for a second that he is. What are you going to say about this verse? Ephesians, same author, chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above that we all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Listen to this. To all generations. To all generations. He's speaking to the church age. We're in it. Generation after generation after generation after generation after generation of saints have gone before us and paved the way for us to have the freedoms and the knowledge that we have today as the church of the living God. And we have that responsibility to future generations. He's talking about the here and now. And he's saying in the here and now, our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Think about that. For the glory of Jesus Christ. I've seen God do some awesome things. I mean, some awesome things. You might be impressed with what's happened at Grace Baptist Church. You ought to see it through my eyes. I mean, I'm a computer salesman by training and was fairly successful at that. You know, the first thing about starting a church, just knew about Jesus and decided if we get together and study God's Word and make it a part of it, we were going to be a center of spiritual awareness in this area that God would glorify himself. And he has. And he has. I mean, think about that. The incredible blessing this church has been in this community. So we're just kind of prideful. Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is, I'm a better person because Grace Baptist Church exists. I think many of you all would say the same thing. Well, if I'm a better person, I live in Columbia County. It's a better place to live because of the influence the Church of the Living God has had on me. Amen. Now think about that. We got 1,400 members now. And all of us ought to be shining our little light and being better people than we were before. And if that's the case, then you got 1,400 people, Maxine, that are out there making this a better place to live. Incredible. We're able to have an impact on other people. Why? Because the power of God's in us. He made us light and we're letting our light shine. That's all we can do. Let our light shine. We ought not limit what God wants to do at Grace Baptist Church. I believe with all my heart, the greatest days of Grace Baptist Church are in front of us, not behind us. I'm not trying to grow a mega church. I don't even want to grow a mega church. I'm just telling you, I believe our greatest days are ahead if we will but seek to know God's will and do it, whatever the cost would be. You say, preacher, what's the next step? I don't know. When it's time to know, we'll know. And my prayers will have the courage and the faith to do it. Why? So that more people can be touched by the power of God because the Spirit of God is living in the saints of Grace Baptist Church. We're called to be a lighthouse. You know, we were given this piece of property. It was the highest point in Columbia County. Not today. We cut 12 feet off the top to make a big level spot so we could have this big church and parking lot. Still pretty close, within 4 or 5 feet of the highest point in the county. And from the day I walked on this property and saw this great big old oak tree that I didn't want to have cut down, but it had to go, I knew this was supposed to be a bright, shiny beacon of hope, shining in all directions for people who have lost their way to find it again. For people who are groping in darkness to know there is hope. For lost, wicked, sin-sick souls to know they can be saved. I don't think we're there yet, Brian. I think we're a lot closer than we used to be. But I believe God has greater things in store. And who's going to bring that to pass? You and me. You and me. Allowing the Spirit of God in us to shine brightly. You see, it's one thing for us to say, we're going to preach and teach the word every opportunity. But James 1:22 says, you better be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because those who are just hearing it are deceiving themselves. Don't blame the devil. Deceiving themselves. Knowing the word. I'm telling you, the devil knows the word. He got after me this morning. I got aggravated. I was here early. And I started to get dressed. Tracy, I come with the grubby clothes on. And I got my shirt on and I popped the button off right here. I said, well, praise the Lord. I keep a spare. I went into my closet, got my spare. Put that thing on, buddy. Popped the same button off. I said, this ain't funny. I had another old spare. I said, I'm going to put it on. It was a little tight. But I made it. But it had a brown spot right there. Been hanging in the closet so long, the starch had done whatever it does. It got dark. I came over to prayer time, and Jim very graciously said, no, nobody will notice that. And Tim said, oh, you got a brown spot on your collar. And I said, get behind me, Satan, thou savest not the things of God. No, I didn't say that. Tim's not the devil. But the devil didn't want me to be happy today. He loses. He loses. I'm as happy as a lark. I'm thrilled to death to be here. I'm grateful to be able to celebrate what God has done and what God is going to do. So I want us to think in terms of how we're going to get from here to where we're going to be next year, celebrating 30 years as a church, and allowing that church growth number to get back up to 6, 8, 10% kind of a number by simply letting our little light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's all it's going to take. Is for this group of people to let our light shine in this community. Be Jesus. Let them see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Preacher, they don't know my Father. They will if you let your light shine. Because they know their light's not shining. They know their friends' lives are not shining. And they'd love to have a shining light. And here we are. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And if we shine on them, God just might illumine them as well. Imagine how we could celebrate next year if each of us in this room led one person to Christ. We'll have to have this thing simulcast in a couple of different locations. That'd be okay. That'd be okay. Not so we can brag about being the biggest church in town, so we can brag about our glorious Savior, who's still in a life-changing, soul-saving business. That ought to be the passion of every heart here today. Unless we become complacent, indifferent. I got it on my own. They can get it on their own too. And that's the attitude of a great many Christians. That's the attitude of a great many pastors. That's the attitude of a great many churches. Breaks the heart of God. But for the grace of God, I'd be the biggest pagan in Columbia County. But for the grace of God, you'd probably be running with me. And we'd all be headed to hell. But for the grace of God. But I'm headed to heaven. And I pray that you're following me there. Because of the miracle work God's done in our lives. But I could be talking to somebody today. Maybe you're a visitor. This is the first time you ever came. You might have been here from 28 years ago. And you've never come to that place of recognizing that you're a sinner and you desperately need a Savior, that Jesus Christ is your only hope. And you need to surrender your life and will to that Savior. You can do so today in a heartbeat. But you have to. You have to. Being a member of Grace Baptist Church is not going to impress God when you stand before Him in judgment. And you're going to stand before Him in judgment. Every single one of us, saved and lost, going to give an account. He's not going to probably ask you where you're a member. He already knows. He's going to ask you, what'd you do with Jesus? What we've tried to do at Grace Baptist Church is to make much of Jesus, to exalt the name of Jesus. to worship and celebrate Jesus, for he alone is worthy. And I'd encourage you to join us today. But the vast majority, born-again believers in Jesus Christ, and I'm grateful to serve with you, but we all need to examine our hearts and lives to make sure that complacency hasn't bogged us down, and we're not content with where we are, and we're going to keep pressing on with Jesus, how we choose. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your presence here today and for the rich blessing we've enjoyed for 29 years. And Lord, we acknowledge it's not about me. It's all about